Over these last 4 months, we have sought to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from him about the kingdom of God. Now, this is a kingdom whose arrival he has announced. A kingdom best described as God's rule over God's people, in God's place, and for God's glory. This is a kingdom that's already begun, but it's also one that Jesus and only Jesus can bring to its complete fulfillment. And that's not going to happen until he comes back again. And it's a kingdom that all of his followers, including us today, we become a part of it when we pledge our love and our loyalty to Jesus. And according to Jesus, this is a kingdom that all of his followers are to bear witness to in all areas of our lives. Now, we find this kingdom of God teaching from Jesus throughout the Gospels, in both discourses and in parables. But we here, we've spent most of our time focused on the part of Matthew's Gospel known as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is surrounded by his closest followers, and then there are these vast crowds that have come because they want to see him and hear him, because they're curious about him. And so Jesus, he seizes this opportunity to teach about the values and the methods and the priorities of this kingdom that whose arrival he has announced. This kingdom that's already here and still to come. And so these are values, methods, and priorities that we have examined and then applied to our lives as followers of Jesus in our time and in our place. Well, today, we're going to finish this series. Last week, we saw Jesus beginning to draw this sermon to a close. And as he did so, he stressed that the way into the kingdom is very narrow. He described it as a narrow gate opening to a narrow and sometimes difficult path, but to a path that leads to eternal life. A life with God and resurrection and forgiveness of sins and hope and lasting peace. Kingdom life. And we learned last week that Jesus himself is this narrow gate, and that the only path to citizenship in the kingdom of God is through pledging our love and our loyalty to Jesus. And it is a narrow way, but also tremendously expansive, in that it is open to anyone and to everyone who would come to him. But kingdom life, being a citizen of the kingdom that is both already here and still to come, isn't just about making a pledge of loyalty to Jesus. It's also very much about how it is that we live our lives in the here and now. It's very much about building a life based on the values, methods, and priorities of the kingdom of God that Jesus has been teaching us. This morning, we're going to consider how we all build our lives on some sort of foundation. And we're going to hear Jesus tell the crowds that just hearing his words are not enough. And we're going to learn about the only truly solid foundation that we can build our lives on. If you have a Bible with you, would invite you to open it up and turn to Matthew chapter 7. If you've got a Bible app on your tablet or smartphone, you're welcome. I'd invite you to do the same. If not, just listen along because I will be reading all these texts. But again, we're in Matthew chapter 7. Now, all of us, we all build our lives on something. Now, whether this is something that is carefully considered and thought out, or maybe it's largely unconscious and unexamined, we all build our lives on something. We all have values and priorities that shape what it is that we do and the decisions that we make. And this is basically the foundation that determines how we live in this world of ours. It dictates what we're willing or not willing to do. It gives shape and direction to our lives. It informs what we consider to be the purpose of our existence. It's the lens through which we evaluate whether our life has been well lived. or if it's been wasted, or somewhere in between. Well, these foundational goals and priorities, they come in all different shapes and sizes. For some people, it's found in striving for a particular career, a profession, maybe a business, a position, a coveted title. For other people, the foundation that they try to build their life on is family, a happy marriage, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. That too. For some, the foundation is fame, power, influence, the desire for recognition in your community. For others, it's a certain standard of living, an accumulation of wealth, a desired property, maybe a luxury car or truck. For some, it's just simple survival. Experience has taught them that life is hard, the toughest and the meanest survive. And so this drive to survive informs every choice and decision that they make. We all build our lives on something, some sort of foundation, things that we believe that we need in order to be happy or to be fulfilled or to be successful or significant. And it's that foundation that inevitably shapes the choices and the decisions that we make day to day. Well, in the closing words of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks to the importance of choosing the right kind of foundation on which to build our lives. Let's listen to what he says. Jesus explains to the crowds that they need to do more than just hear his words. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Here's what Jesus says. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, and they beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I bet that many of you know the story, probably the song of the wise man and the foolish man. We're not going to sing it together. But this is the text that story and that song comes from. And so Jesus describes two men building two houses. Both houses probably looked similar in many ways. Four walls, a roof, windows, a front door. Both likely look sturdy enough. By all initial appearances, pretty much they look the same. But in this parable, Jesus tells us that these two builders are not the same. One of them is wise. The other's a fool. And the difference between them becomes apparent when a storm sweeps through. Because with it comes rains and winds and floods. In one house, it survives the storm intact. The other collapses. Because while both houses looked very similar inside and out, what separated them was what they had been built upon. For all their apparent similarities, each had a very different foundation. The wise man had built his house on rock, a solid and unmovable foundation. But the foolish man had built on sand. And as long as the sun shone and the winds were gentle, everything was okay. It worked. Life worked. But when the storm struck and the rains fell and the wind blew, the foolish man's house collapsed. As he closes out the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uses this well-known parable to us to emphasize that listening alone is not enough to make us wise. See, even fools do that. To be wise, to build a life that can withstand all the challenges that we face in this beautiful but broken world, we need to also do all that Jesus teaches us. What makes a person wise is hearing and then doing. Or as Jesus puts it here, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So this statement, coming at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is telling his followers, his closest followers, as well as these vast crowds, and also us, that it isn't enough to just admire him and appreciate his teaching, and then go off and build our lives according to our own values and priorities. I mean, yes, that is something that we can do. Many of us do it. But according to Jesus, that is how fools live. They hear, but they don't follow. They listen, but they don't obey. And in the end, it leads to disaster because they built lives that can't survive the world as it actually is. To be wise, to build the kind of life that's going to last, the kind that can weather the storm, we need to hear and follow Jesus. We need to listen and obey all that he calls us to. And what it is that he's calling us to is to live according to these values, methods, and priorities of the kingdom of God. It is these values, methods, and priorities that is the solid as a rock foundation that Jesus instructs us to build our lives upon. Now, as I was preparing for this sermon, there was some debate amongst the commentaries that I was reading as to what the storm exactly refers to here. Many think that Jesus has future final judgment in mind when he talks about the storm. And that does make sense. Because when we all stand before God one day and have to give an account for our lives, the only thing that's going to matter is whether we listened to Jesus and entered through the narrow gate and then began living according to the values, methods, and priorities of the kingdom of God. Because there is no other way in, and there's no other way of living that will amount to anything at that point. But it could also be that these rains and floods and winds refer to the inevitable challenges that we all face living in this beautiful but broken world of ours. And while it might seem that some people are living in Tornado Alley, and others seem to live in San Diego, we will all face storms. We're all going to encounter difficulties, challenges, and failures in this life. And they come to us in different shapes and different sizes. Sometimes it can be an injury or an illness, a business failure, maybe a job loss, death of a loved one. How about a worldwide pandemic? Social unrest? Political turmoil? Storms can come in many forms and frequencies. Seasons of doubt, times of discouragement. All that we can be really sure of is that they will come. And when they do, they are going to test our foundations. They will test the quality, the resiliency, the strength of what it is that we have built our lives upon. And Jesus says that if we have not built our lives on what he has taught us, on what is true, on what is good, on the values and methods and priorities of the kingdom of God, then our lives are likely going to collapse under their own weight. Now, many of the things that I mentioned earlier that we are oftentimes very tempted to build our lives upon, things like family or a career or a business, these are not bad things, not at all. In fact, most of them are very good things. But not if we allow them to become ultimate things. Not if we allow them to become foundational things. Not if we allow them to become necessary things. Because if we do that, then those things become idols. Idols that we are compelled to bow to, but who lack the power to truly get us through any storm that we might face. And so as Jesus wraps up his famous Sermon on the Mount, he says to his followers, and he says to the crowds, and he says to us, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. But everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who has built his house on the rock." See, according to Jesus, to live well in our beautiful but broken world requires two things: entering by the narrow gate and then building a life on the values, methods, and priorities of the kingdom of God. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not a promise of an easy life or a simple life, or even what many people might mean when they speak of a blessed life. And while it is demonstrably true that life does generally work better when we do it God's way, what Jesus is showing us here is what we must do in order to be able to weather the challenges that we will all face together and alone. Whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Having the right kind of foundation for our lives begins with acknowledging that Jesus and only Jesus is the narrow gate. He is the only way into the kingdom of God. No other path or person can get us there. This is why the essence of biblical Christianity involves pledging our love and our loyalty to Jesus. But making that initial pledge is only the beginning. Because once made, we then need to follow and obey and listen to Jesus. The values, methods, and priorities of the kingdom of God need to become our values, methods, and priorities. And when I'm speaking of these values, methods, and priorities, I'm speaking of things that we've talked about over these last weeks, things like mercy, being people of mercy, being peacemakers, practicing purity in heart and mind and body, being people who speak the truth and only the truth always, being people who forsake revenge and leave justice in God's hands, people who turn the other cheek, people who love even their enemies, people who practice radical generosity, especially towards those in need, people who store up treasures in heaven rather than here on earth, people who trust God with their deepest worries and anxieties, people who refuse the temptation to be harshly critical of others. These are the things that Jesus has been teaching us. These are the kingdom values and methods and priorities that Jesus is calling on us to not just hear, but also to do. These are the kind of foundation stones on which we can build a life that will be able to withstand the storms that we're all going to face in this life. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is famous, and rightly so. In fact, it is widely regarded positively by many, both inside and outside of the church. And again, with very good reason, because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is describing the kind of world that we all long for. A world that's full of mercy and forgiveness and peace, generosity. Of course, a world that many say is simply too good to be true. And in one sense, they're right. While we long to live in a world that looks like the one that Jesus describes as the kingdom of God, thousands of years of world history have proven that we just are not capable of building a world or a society like this. It's because our will is too weak. Our motivations are too corrupted. Our selfishness is too great. And our mercy and our generosity is simply too small. We just are not capable of creating this kind of world or society. But we still long for it. In fact, even the crowds who first heard Jesus utter these words, they were just memorized by them. In Matthew 7, verse 28, it says, "When Jesus had finished saying these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law." No one then nor since has been able to speak so insightfully about our brokenness and so expansively about how good things will be when God finally and forever fixes our broken world. But the distance between these two things, the world's brokenness and the kingdom's glory, can seem insurmountable. And so we need a way to bridge that divide. We need a peacemaker, a mediator, an intermediary, who can bring God to us and us to God. And in Jesus, the great teacher of the kingdom of God, we have that. See, he is the great mediator. He is the ultimate peacemaker. He is the true intermediary that we all need. As God who took on human flesh, he is the one and only the one who can bring heaven and earth together in the kingdom of God. The inevitable, unstoppable kingdom that Jesus tells us has already begun, but whose complete fulfillment is still to come. So build your life on this kingdom. Let's be men and women, youth and children, who build our lives and our families, our careers, our churches, on the values, methods, and priorities of the kingdom of God. And we can do that if we are wise enough not just to hear Jesus, but also to do all that he's teaching us. Let me pray. Father, we praise and we worship you for your glory, for your holiness, and for your love. We thank you for creating a world that, though broken by our sin, is still full of beauty and joy that we can celebrate and enjoy. Thank you for giving us the scriptures to show us the best and the right ways to live. Jesus, we bow before you as our true rescuer king. We pledge our love and our loyalty to you as the narrow gate, as our great teacher, and as our ultimate peacemaker. Holy Spirit, continue to open our hearts and our minds to hear, to receive and to understand all that Jesus wants to teach us about the kingdom of God. Show us when we try to build our lives on faulty foundations. Empower us to hear and to do all that Jesus has taught us about the values, methods, and priorities of the kingdom of God. In spirit, we would pray also for Casey and Maggie, and we rejoice with them over their baptism, their public statement of their decision to follow Jesus, and pray that you would continue to empower them to live lives of faith, raising their children to know and love Jesus as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.